Now tell your friends, I go to a church where every week we celebrate a blood ritual.
This kind of sounds morbid, right?
It's true. It's literally what you're doing every time you take the body and blood. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what it is and then sort of what happens. So let me just go into a little theology first. This is really important. There's a lot of different phrases that I'm using interchangeably, and I'm just going to share with you four of them, but they all represent the same thing. And maybe for some of us that are from different backgrounds and theologies, this will help us all find some common ground. But the bottom line is simply, when we talk about the body and blood ritual, communion, breaking bread, the Eucharist, we are talking about Christians ingesting bread and juice or wine to remember the gospel of Jesus. Now, here's four of the most common phrases we see or hear about. The first is communion or holy communion. Does anyone know what communion means? It simply means sharing. And if you're taking notes in 1 Corinthians 10:16, Paul is alluding to communion, to the taking of the body and blood, and he calls it communion. That's where we got the word communion. We're taking communion. We got it from that passage where Paul calls it communion. And again, the word communion means sharing. So as we take the body and blood, we are sharing in the memory of Jesus' sacrifice. A second term that's common is the Lord's Supper. This term comes from 1 Corinthians 11:20, where Paul refers to the body and blood being remembered at the table as the Lord's Supper. If you have some translations, they call it the Lord's Table. So you say, what did we do at church today? We took the Lord's Table. What in the world is that? You know, the blood ritual. What in the world did you guys do there? We had the Lord's Supper. And so, again, simply, the Lord's Supper is this idea that after the Passover meal that we just read about, they took the body and blood. Another very common, third very common term is the Eucharist. This is in the Catholic tradition, part of the Catholic Mass. This is really the end, it's the focal point of a Catholic service and Mass, is they offer the Eucharist. And the Eucharist means, does anyone know what it means? Thanks. The word comes from a Latin word, Eucharista, which means thanks. And you might have remembered when we read just a moment ago, it said before Jesus broke the bread, it says he gave thanks. So gratitude is a huge part of this celebration. And that's why, again, some of the Catholic and other traditions call it the Eucharist. It simply means the thanking. Everybody got it so far? A little theology for us. And then a fourth term that you'll hear is the breaking of the bread. And this is a term used in the Bible to mean two things. Number one, it means chowing down, having a good old meal. We're breaking bread together. That means we're eating. That's an old-fashioned, third-world, Middle Eastern term to say, hey, let's eat together. So next time you invite someone to lunch in this church, you can say, hey, let's break bread. And they'll say, you mean communion? Like, no, chowing down. The reality, though, is in the Bible, the words breaking of the bread is also used to talk about communion. So it can get a little confusing, but that's a term that is used for both of those things. And why is it called the breaking of the bread? Well, it's because, again, Jesus physically ripped the bread during that ceremony. And so let me just talk a tiny bit more about theology, and then we'll get into some practical things. And I just have to say this because there's a lot of differentiation. There's a lot of even opposing views about how this happens. Some fancy words I'll throw out, and I'm not going to fully explain, but are memorialism, consubstantiation, and transubstantiation. These are all different ideas of how and what it means to take the body and blood. Some traditions believe that different things happen when we take the body and blood. Some traditions believe that you can only take the bread and the wine if you have done and said certain things. And I just want to say this morning, we have to really be careful of spiritual pride when it comes to this. And this is any Christian truth we have. So there's some of us in this room that might think, well, it is this way, and it's not that way. And I would just tell you, if that's in your heart, be very, very careful. Because we can get very quickly, we can become spiritually proud and think we know something, and we have sort of a closer thing with God than all the other people because we've done A, B, and C. And I would just warn you, be very careful about that. This is what we believe in this church. If you believe in Jesus Christ and have invited him to forgive you of your sin, I don't care what you believe about the body and blood, you are welcome to take it here. Okay? You don't have to jump through any hoop, sign any paper. You don't have to have this word or this title behind your name. You don't have to have gone through any kind of ceremony. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome, even if it is your first time here at this church. And then the other thing is, well, how often do people take communion? And you might notice we do it every week, and that's a question we get a lot. Why do we take communion every week? Well, the reason we do it every week was that was the pattern of the early church. It says, as often as they met, they broke bread and celebrated the Lord's table. Now, I'm going to stop there with theology and get into some practical stuff. If you want to talk about this, though, I love theology. I studied systematic theology in great depth in school and still enjoy reading it. In fact, right now I'm reading a book by St. Augustine. So I would love to talk theology with you. If you want to talk theology about this or the end of the world, or we can talk about the Nephilim or anything else you want, invite me out. We will have coffee, and I would love to do it. But I just wanted to, I said all that to say, here's what I'm trying to say as I sum that up. When it comes to the Lord's table, everyone in this room is on common ground. You are all invited. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are invited to come to the table and eat and enjoy His mercy freely. Everybody got it? Amen. All right. There is no separation here. There's no you're in and you're out. We're all one in Christ. Now, let me talk a little bit, and then we're going to take the body and blood. What happens when we take the bread and the juice? What happens when we take the bread and the juice? Well, four things happen. The first is that we remember the death of Jesus. So we're going back to Matthew 26. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. After a blessing, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Luke 22 adds, do this and remember me. So we're remembering the death of Jesus. Now we're going to get morbid here for a moment. And I'm not scared to talk about it. A man was tortured and died so you and I would not have to go to hell. A man was tortured brutally and died so that we would not have to suffer judgment. So it is not a pithy thing. It is a sober thing when we think about the death of Jesus. Can you just absorb that with me for a moment? Just absorbing that Jesus told you. I mean, imagine if you had a friend and that friend knew that that night they were going to get arrested and the next day they were going to die. And not just die, but die a brutal, humiliating death. And, you know, we're not going to go into it, but there's so many ways. Just being crucified on a piece of wood, which was a curse, by the way. Being crucified outside of the city was a curse. There are so many ways that the King of Glory was put and treated like absolute scum and garbage. And so when we talk about it, if you had a friend that said, I will die tomorrow for a good cause, imagine what would go through your body, how you would feel. Imagine maybe how you feel or have felt when a loved one has passed away and you've experienced that loss. Because it's not just, I'm going to die because he died, okay? But at this point, they had no assurance and some of them didn't even believe he'd come back. So we are going to miss you, missing the person that is gone. Some of them even later saw his dead body and actually handled it. So when he says, remember my death, this is it's a visceral, raw, it's an emotional thing that I think we need to grab onto. And, you know, it's hard, guys. In John 6, do you remember the passage where Jesus first introduced and said, well, no one comes to me and to the Father unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You remember that passage? And you remember what happened when he said that? It says most, and there were thousands at that point, because that was actually right after the multiplying of the bread. So there were probably 10,000 plus people around. And it says most of them left him. Thousands of people walked away at that statement. Now, was he saying you have to, are you carnivores? Obviously not, okay? But he was trying to give them a graphic picture of the symbolism of what was to come and the price that would be required for sin to be paid for. And I just want to talk just for a moment about the current culture, because I think in the current culture, we really can lose the meaning of these things. I want to thank Lee for making us this bread. I did wash my hands. Oh, it smells good. The current culture right now, in addition to all the industry and wonders that we have from cars, internet, air conditioning, artificial intelligence, it will do everything it can do to numb you from really experiencing life. And I'm talking about this in the context of the death of Jesus. I think it's important. We are being driven into self-focused comfort. I want to encourage you not to fall asleep right now. We're talking about the death of Jesus. I want to encourage you not to fall asleep, because the culture right now everywhere is trying to take away your individuality. It's trying to take away, more than ever, the advent of the internet and AI and the place we're in now. It's actually now trying to take away your ability to think for yourself. Did you know that? What it's trying to do now is it's trying to make you and I so lazy that we no longer even finish our sentences to people we love, but we let a computer program do it for us. And if you've fallen into that, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just asking us this morning to check ourselves. Because what happens is then we become lazy. We no longer mean what we say. We become fake and disingenuous. And again, I'm not saying it's bad. It's useful. It's a useful tool. Technology is a useful tool. But what is happening to the human race right now is the human race is getting very lazy, inflexible, unable to adapt. We are losing our ability to be creative and think for ourselves and say real things to other humans because we are letting a computer program do it for us. And I have become so sick of the socials and even email now. Hey, do you want to reply to this person? That sounds great. Thanks! Exclamation mark. And it's like, I'm going to stop and take the time and be a human being and communicate something that came from me. Not because I think that's wrong, because I don't. But if that becomes the default, we lose our humanity, guys. And here's what happens. The way you interact that way is going to affect the way you interact with God. God is going to become a convenience. He's going to become something that can be put on the back burner. He's going to become something that we don't think about. And furthermore, our ability to cope with reality and accept hardship is really, really in danger. So I want to just say that this morning as we're talking about the body and the blood, because we want to, like, what's happening to you and I is we're being introduced to a fake reality more and more. And what Jesus says to us, you know, he says, every time you meet, remember my death. I mean, we want to get in touch with the visceral experience and stay there of the sacrifice for our sins. You hear what I'm saying? We don't want it to just become, oh, I went to church and I took communion. And, you know, when Jesus did this, I mean, he took this loaf, okay? He took this loaf and he ripped it. He ripped it. He said, I'm going to get ripped apart for you. And when you rip the loaf in a few moments, remember that. Remember the ripping that happened, the death that was caused for us to find forgiveness. So we remember the death of Jesus. The next thing the scripture says in verse 27 is that we thank God. Again, very clearly in verse 27, when he took the cup, he gave thanks, he shared it. Now, don't drink from the cup, okay, when you come up. We ask you just to dip, because some of us do have illnesses, so let's respect that. If you really want to be careful, you can just take one of these, and then no one will touch what you've touched. But he rose the cup, took the cup, and he said he gave thanks. And so part of us doing this is remembering the death of Jesus. We got that one. The next part of it is thanking God. Communion is a time of thanksgiving. Are you thankful for anything today? Let's thank God now. Let's just do this. Can we? Let's just do this as part of the sermon. Maybe in one sentence. What are you thankful for? Let's thank God right now publicly. You ready? I'll start. Lord, I'm so thankful for all these people gathered here to be with you. Nice and loud. And voice it as a statement to God. Thank you, Lord, for my cat. Amanda.
I'm thankful that my sister's here with you and God gave us both another chance at life.
Yeah. Wow. Amen. Yeah. Who else? Tina.
I'm thankful that God provided a roof over my head when I was unsure of where I would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Thanking God. Wesley.
To be able to see.
That's pretty big. It's pretty big. Vanessa?
I'm thankful for life and just what Jesus has done and just seeing him working in people's lives.
Yeah. 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 Who else?
I'm thankful that God made us parents.
That God made us parents. Yeah. Yeah. Who else? Others? Carolyn?
Thankful God that you're healing me each day more and more.
Yeah, yeah. Steve?
I'm thankful for my awesome
daughter. Amen. Sarah?
I'm thankful for my children and my family.
Yeah, thankful for my children and family. Yes.
I'm thankful that God uses us as a vessel to get to others.
Yeah, yeah, that God uses us.
Jamie?
She's thankful for her husband, Caleb.
Thankful that God has kept us safe and alive.
A lot of people can't say that. Got another one?
I'm thankful that he gave us Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Thankful that he gave us Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Two or three more? So?
Beautiful spring flowers.
Yeah, yeah. Catherine?
I'm thankful that he answers our prayers, and even when it takes a long time, we can see he is there
Thankful that he answers our prayers even when it takes a long time to see it happen. Laurel?
Thankful for all the people who helped us fix Mangle tents.
Yes. Thankful for all the people that helped us fix the mangled tents. One more, Cherish.
I'm thankful for
animals and nature. You know, it's when we come to the Lord's table, when you're thankful to God, when you make yourself be thankful, I've been doing this for 10 or 15 years. I wake up and I decide the first thing I'm going to do is start thanking God. And so when you come to the table, what happens when we are focused on someone else is it makes you not focused on you. And that's a really good way to live, guys, when you're not always thinking about you and all the things in your life that need fixing. There's a lot of lightness in that. There's a lot of freedom in that. So we remember the death of Jesus, we thank God, and then it says in verse 28, the next part of communion is that we repent. Jesus makes it very clear when he talks about the blood of the covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins. So, part of communion is that our sins are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? When we come to the table, we acknowledge to God that Jesus died. And then we come so thankful for our lives and Jesus' death and everything that we get to do. And then we come to a place of repentance and we realize that this whole thing, it's not a ceremony, it's not for the holy and righteous, it's not just for certain people, it's for every penitent person who comes to the feet of Jesus and needs cleansing. And we read in 1 Corinthians, he's very clear, he says, don't come to the Lord's table if you don't have a clear conscience. What that means is, if you have something in your life, and I'm not saying like you have to be like a perfect person, okay? But like if I have bitterness or I have pride or lust or something that's not, I have not asked forgiveness for, he says, don't come to the table, because if you come to the table and you assume the death of Jesus and you consume the body and blood of Jesus and you have a bad conscience, you're actually faking it and blaspheming. So we have to, before we come to the table, and the beautiful thing is you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to do anything except say, God, I am so sorry for this thing that I'm hanging on to. And the reality too, guys, and this is kind of scary, but if I can't come to the table, I'm separated from Jesus. Let's think about that. If I can't come to the table because I have unforgiven sin, I'm separating myself from Jesus. And so I just want to take about 30 or 40 seconds now. We're about to stand in a moment and do this. But I just want to take a few moments, if you and I, to just take this moment and just cleanse our hearts. And it's so wonderful because he does it for us. All we do is receive, and we say this, Lord, forgive me. That's all we have to do. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to get better. You don't have to, like, not ever sin again, guys. We just come again to the table. Mercy is new every day. And we say, Lord, please forgive me. So let's take about 30 minutes of silence now. And we're just going to invite the Lord to give us clean conscience and forgiven hearts. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. We ask you to, if there's anything that we've kept, that we've walked in this room, any bitterness toward a person, any secret sin we've walked in here and just feel really low about, any grudge we're holding, would you pour out your mercy on us again now? And Lord, we ask you, forgive us. We've sinned against you. We're so thankful for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And we receive you. Bless your presence. Bless your forgiveness. You are good. Amen. Now look at the person next to you. You can do this. The scripture gives you the authority to do this. Many places. My favorite is in the book of James. But look at the person next to you and say, in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Now look at the person on the other side of you and say the same thing. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that great? I love that we're all smiling. Guys, it's a happy thing. It's wonderful. You're okay in the eyes of God. He loves you and he's for you. And nothing will keep him from you. Last thing that happens when we take communion is we proclaim that Jesus is coming again. Anybody give me a woohoo? Yeah. Yeah. So we remember the death of Jesus, we thank God, we repent, and then in verse 29, he says, to this I say, you won't drink of this fruit again, of vine again until the day you drink it with me in my kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, it says the same thing in different words. It says, when we take communion, we proclaim the soon coming of the Lord. So maybe you haven't heard this in the context of communion teaching, but it's very clear in Scripture that there is an expectation linked to the body and blood when we unite with Christ through the bread and the juice. There is an expectation that I am going to see him again. And just imagine at the first Lord's Supper when he says, I'm going to die, but I'll see you again. And when you do this, remember, I'm coming back. All this CRAP that we're living in right now is not going to be permanent. All the awful things that we wake up to and that we're dealing with in our lives, this for us is a memory, and it's a hope to say one day it's going to be better. The trumpet's going to sound. He's coming for his saints, and light is going to completely overwhelm darkness, and I'm free of this world, and he'll make all things new in you and in me. And so Jesus tells his disciples, next time you do this, you're going to do it with me in heaven, the next kingdom. And Paul says the same thing. When you take the Lord's Supper, remember, he's coming back. And I just love that there's a lot of joy in the room right now. And I think it should be a somber, sober place, but I think it should also be a very joyful place, the table of the Lord. So let's stand. All right, so one final thing and then some instructions, and we've got about 15 minutes, so we're doing good on time here. So now we are going to do this thing we've been talking about. Now, let me say this first. If you don't feel like this is something you want to do, just stay in your seat. It's fine. There's going to be people that feel like, you know, I'm just not ready. I got to deal with some stuff in my heart. And as pretty as this building is, and none of the wasps bit Jeff while he's trying to preach, but still, that's just not enough for me to, like, do this. I don't want to do it. So if that's you, I just want to say it's okay. This is not, we don't want you to feel obligated. If it's your first time and you feel like, these people are weird, I just don't know. There's, like, dogs in church, they got coffee, and they got a bell, like, there's wasps, what's going on? It's okay. I just want to say, if that's where you're at, there's no judgment, no pressure at all. But I do want to say this. If you feel just an apprehension because this is a holy thing, and maybe you're just like, maybe you've been here for 10 years and you've never taken the body and blood during worship, I want to challenge you. If your heart is right with God, I want to challenge you to get out of your seat and take the body and blood. I want to encourage you to remember, push yourself out in faith. This is something you have not done. And it's going to be wonderful. All right? So here's what we're going to do. Logistics, we have two stations, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to have a line coming from here, and it's going to be take the body and blood, and then it's going to go back that way. And then we're going to have a line here coming to take the body and blood, and it's going to go back that way, okay? So the lines are coming from here, and they're going to go back, and it's going to be fairly quick. It's going to take like 7 or 8 minutes for all of us to filter through, I think. And we're going to sing a few songs randomly as we do this, and we have two options for you. We have this, peel and drink, or you can just rip a chunk off of this bread, that's what I'm doing, and dip it in this in the cup and take. But let's pray, and then we will begin. Father, bless this taking of your body and blood. We thank you for so much you've done for us, and we just say that your name is blessed. Amen. All right. You guys can form lines and come on up. April, if you'd put the lyrics to Nothing But the Blood for us. It's okay if it's a disaster. Don't worry. There's going to be some chaos. It's all right. You can talk to the people near you in the line. You can serve one another, the body and the blood of Jesus. You might even bless the person next to you and tell them their sins are forgiven as they take. That bread's good. You guys can keep talking, praying for one another, smiling at one another. I'm going to sing this hymn. If you want to sing it with me, you can. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Jesus, oh, precious.
Let's end on when we've been. When we've been there 10,000 years. Let's all stand as we close. One thing I love about the homeless mission is it's all men, and they all sing really loud and deep. So I'm going to ask you to just sing with some volume. Let's sing the chorus of Amazing Grace one more time, and then I'll pray and dismiss this.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Your love for us. I pray that you would fill each person with your spirit now as we go. We give you today whatever you would bring about. May we be slow. May we be at peace. May we enjoy every moment you've given us. We certainly thank you for all the gifts and graces we have through you. And we give glory and praise and love to your name, Jesus, and the Father, Son, and Spirit. We pray and we go. Amen. Amen. Guys, bless you. Have a wonderful day.